It's time for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show, and your presenter, Dr. Boyce, Dr. Rene Boyce, will be on deck in a couple of seconds to bring you another excellent program with herself and her guests. Of course, this evening, it's coming to you kind compliments of Guardian Life of the Caribbean.
Life is good, but the right coverage makes it so much better. Presidia means power, protection, and freedom to do the things you love. Presidia, the personal accident coverage that lets you live your best life today. Call your Guardian Life agent today or 430-4675 and live easy.
Okay, a big thank you again to Guardian Life of the Caribbean. With that, let's say a very good evening to Dr. Rene Boyce.
Hello, good evening, Greston, and how are you?
I'm hanging in there as per usual. You are smiling happily already.
I enjoy doing the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. This is one of the things that I enjoy doing. Like, there are many things I enjoy doing, but this is one of them. Again, this evening, we have a very exciting show planned. We have another guest from Guardian Life of the Caribbean. And by popular demand, believe it or not, we have Dr. Dawn Scantleberry back from last week. A wealth of information. And so we're hoping, we have our show planned, and everybody by now knows that I like planning and organization. We have our show planned, but we will see how things go. And if you want to give us a call in the studio, 434-1790, and if you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. So those numbers once again, studio 434-1790. Share your comments, your thoughts, your questions. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp for a more lengthy question, 266-4862. And believe it or not, we have a call already. But before we take that call, there are two things I want to do. The first thing would be to say hello to Marcella Jones. I was about to say I ran into Miss Jones, but it's the other way around. Miss Jones ran into me. She happened to be nearby my office, and she popped in to say hi. It was very, very heartwarming to see somebody who listens to the show every week. So hello to you, Miss Jones. And the second thing is, this is for you, Dr. Scantleberry. One of our listeners sent a question last week about statins, whether or not why we add them to persons who don't necessarily have high cholesterol, and why do we add them in high doses? So that's the first question we're going to get off when we get back to you from taking this call. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good afternoon, Dr. Boyce.
Hi.
I was looking in my phone book, see if you have a private officer I could call you. I haven't seen a call by the hospital. I can't get on to you at all. But after that, somebody asked me to call you and to tell you that they went and get one mammogram and two ultrasound. They have this juice coming out of the breast. And
okay.
They don't know what to do about it.
Okay. Thank you for calling. What you can do is when I finish answering your question, you can just hold on and you can get the number from Mr. Seeley. I can just tell you, what's the number? I don't even dial it myself. 248-0434. That's it. 248-0434. Yes. And yes. So let me tell you quickly for that person. We had on our first show, which was sponsored by Guardian Life of the Caribbean, we were discussing breast cancer. So because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, and yes, we said that one of the warning signs of possible breast disease is discharge from the nipples or fluids coming out to the nipples, and such a person really does need to go see her doctor as soon as possible so that they can get the right investigations and the right treatment. So that person needs to find their doctor very soon.
Yes, please. Thank you very much, Dr. Bush.
All right, you're still
on
the line.
You're so welcome.
You're still on the line. I'll give you the number again just in case you missed it. Continue, Dr. Boyce.
Sure. So as we had said, our previous three shows and this evening's shows are this evening's show, they've all been sponsored by Guardian Life of the Caribbean. And each show we had an agent present who was able to facilitate different questions based on the insurance industry. And this evening is no different. We have Miss Beverly Ells. Good evening, Beverly. I think you're still muted, Beverly. You have to unmute. Technology for you. So there should be a little microphone button at the bottom of your screen. There you go.
Good evening, Dr. Boyce. Good evening, Dr. Scanterbury. Good evening, Barbados.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. A little bit about Ms. Al. Mm-hmm. She's a graduate of the Algonquin College in Canada, where she did financial management, CGA studies she's done. She's worked in various industries, petroleum and manufacturing, in the hotel sector, offshore banking. And she has 9 years of insurance agency, the insurance industry work under her belt. In total, this lady has 30 years experience under her belt. That's 30 years experience. So I believe that she is quite qualified to speak to us this evening about various insurance and health related questions. And we want to share with you later on several statistics that have been in the public lately as related to health. This evening's show really is about the impact of those chronic diseases and your quality of life. And that's supposed to be our focus. And I say suppose, because we end up talking about so many different things. But we will let Dr. Scanterbury ask that question, and then we will hit the ground running.
Hi, Rene.
Hi.
Good to be here with you again tonight. Okay, so the question was about statins and why we use them in patients who are not necessarily, who do not necessarily have high cholesterol, and why we use it at high doses. That's a very good question, actually. So it used to be when the statins were first developed, the first statin that was discovered, in fact, was lovastatin, which is what is the active ingredient in red leaf rice. And then as they developed more higher potency statins and did studies on the statins, the researchers' goal was to determine what was their optimum statin dose and what was their optimum level of high cholesterol. But as they did these studies, they discovered that the benefit of statin was seen even in patients who did not have high cholesterol. So there was this one trial looking at the effect of rosuvastatin, which is what's Crestor, and it was purely on patients who had normal cholesterol but were at high risk for cardiovascular events. And they found that patients who were given the cholesterol medication, the statin, especially if they had high levels of C-reactive protein, which is a biomarker to show whether you have higher levels of inflammation, had a better outcome. And when I say a better outcome, they had fewer cardiovascular events and they lived longer. So there was a shift away from just aiming at a particular cholesterol level and looking at levels of risk and targeting those levels of risk. So if you are a patient who has who is in your 30s or 40s with no chronic diseases, and your cholesterol level is the same as the background population, you do not need a cholesterol or a statin. But if you are someone who on the other end of the spectrum has just sustained a cardiovascular event, meaning that you've just had a heart attack or a stroke, even if your cholesterol levels are not that high, you need higher doses of statins, because we know that not only do the statins lower cholesterol, that cholesterol plaque that's in the blood vessel is stabilized when we give the cholesterol medication. So the problem with a heart attack per se is you have this cholesterol plaque inside the blood vessel. The lining over the cholesterol plaque is thin and inflamed and angry. And when we give high doses of statin, the statin to actually help decrease that level of inflammation and stabilize that lining to reduce recurrent events. So it's just trying to give a comprehensive explanation for why we do this. It's all about your levels of risk.
So those persons who have been prescribed statins, and I know we see the many ads with the long litany of side effects from statins and all the things that can happen, have that discussion with your doctor and weigh the benefits as opposed to the risks, and have that conversation with your doctor to see if that drug is best for you. Here we go over to you, Ms. Als. In our conversation earlier today, you had mentioned some figures from the Barbados Drug Service, I believe. And again, let me remind listeners, our topic is the impact of NCDs on the quality of life and your income. So let's talk about some of the money that our country spends on these chronic diseases. Okay, you're hearing us clearly, Beverly.
No, I don't have that to hand right now. I'll get it in a few minutes.
Certainly. Let's go ahead and discuss then the difference. You really want listeners to understand that difference between a basic health insurance policy and a critical illness policy, whilst those figures are brought to hand. Explain for our listeners the difference between the two and the benefits, again, of getting that critical illness plan.
Yes, thank you. A critical illness plan compared to a life insurance plan. And I want to make it abundantly clear that there is a big difference. A life insurance plan will pay a death benefit. So your beneficiaries will benefit when you pass. The living benefit, the critical illness benefit, is a living benefit. That's the difference. So you benefit while you're still alive. How do you benefit? And that is, you take a policy out. The critical illness policy will be taken out, and the insurer, let's assume any insurer on the island, but let's take for instance Guardian Life. You will make an application to Guardian Life for the critical illness policy, and once approved, you would then be covered with living assurance benefits if you are diagnosed with any one of a range of medical conditions, or if you are determined to be totally and permanently disabled. Now, that will lead into the question, what type of chronic illnesses would you be covered for? And there are a myriad of illnesses that are covered under a critical illness plan with Guardian Life, and it ranges from heart attack to coma to cancer to those complications associated with diabetes, such as paralysis, loss of limbs, loss of speech, motor neuron disease, coronary artery disease, surgery, any major organ transplants, multiple sclerosis is another one, benign brain tumors, and any major burns. All these illnesses, some chronic, some otherwise, are covered under a critical illness plan with Guardian Group, Guardian Life of the Caribbean Limited.
Okay, Doc, whilst you unmute your microphone, I will.
Yes. And I'm going to tell the public why. I'm going to tell the public why I was muted.
Right.
I was muted because my children.
Oh, your children. That's all right. Some caller asked me for the cricket. So, Dr. Scantleberry, somebody's been inquiring me. It's all good. We're coming to you right here on the voice of Barbados 92.9 FM with the kind compliments of Guardian Life of the Caribbean. It's the Better Health Radio Show.
Life is good, but the right coverage makes it so much better. Presidia means power, protection, and freedom to do the things you love. Presidia, the personal accident coverage that lets you live your best life. Today. Call your Guardian Life agent today or 430-4675 and live easy.
Dr. Boyce, take it away.
Yes, as much as I am at this point unable to respond to my children's needs, Dr. Scantleberry is unable to control the crickets outside of her house.
That's what I said to the caller.
So for tonight, we will be enjoying nature. Some of those figures that we had alluded to a little earlier, and there's a reason why I'm going to call these figures, and they were provided by the Barbados Drug Service, is so that we get an impact of how much money the government is spending on these chronic diseases. And I'm just going to list two columns listed here. And it's taken from the Non-Communicable Diseases, June 1st, 2018. So feel free to go and research the information. The expenditure for drugs and treatment for hypertension was in excess of $2 million. If you want to be exact, $2,122,545.90. And that's in the public sector. When we look at diabetes, $2,510,421.86. That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money that's being spent on diseases, which in some cases are preventable, which can be managed much better than they are being managed by alterations in our lifestyles and adherence to guidance from healthcare professionals. So I will go out on a limb and say that unfortunately, sometimes we are not aware of the amount of money that's being spent because our access to these drugs is, in inverted commas, free. So we don't feel the burden of the $4 million in drugs for diabetes and hypertension at the front end, but at the back end, the impact is very, very serious. So I want all of those persons, both those persons who have non-communicable diseases and those persons who don't, to understand the impact of these diseases. And we'll get a few more statistics later on. Dr. Scantleberry, this question is for you before we go back to Ms. Als. One of the questions that I have here, what are some of the organs which are damaged by these uncontrolled non-communicable diseases? And when we say NCDs, we're talking mainly about diabetes and hypertension for today's show. Let's hear the crickets.
Okay. So that's a very good question. And I can start from the top and go all the way down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. So if you think of my major concern, of course, is the cardiovascular system, but it's not just the cardiovascular system that's involved. But the heart, of course, is at the center of the CV system, and then the other blood vessels, all the other blood vessels in the body, from the blood vessels in the brain, you can get stroke, dementia, memory loss, blood vessels in the kidneys, which can lead to renal failure, blood vessels in the genitourinary tract, leading to erectile dysfunction in men, in the legs, leading to peripheral arterial disease, which is at the center of diabetic foot disease and all the amputations that we see in this country. So that's the cardiovascular system. And then the diabetes, for instance, can impact the kidneys directly. The hypertension, it's all a vascular problem. So if you think of pretty much almost any organ in the body, it can be affected by the NCDs. So even the GI tract.
So nowhere in the body essentially is spared by these chronic diseases once you get them and they're not properly controlled.
And they're not properly controlled. Think about the eyes. You know, any ophthalmologists, forgive me for forgetting the eyes. The eyes, importantly, especially in diabetes, there are different grades of disease that diabetes can cause within the eye. The cataracts, everybody knows, but there's also diabetic retinopathy, diabetic neuropathy. People get numbness of the fingers and toes, mostly the toes, and then it can get progressively worse. And you can get weakness of the limbs. It can really destroy, especially diabetes, it can really mash up a body, to tell you what's true. It can destroy the body.
Correct. That's a plain and simple truth. That's it right there, destruction and death. This is what we're trying to prevent here on the Better Health Radio Show. So we're trying to target those persons who really and truly don't have any of these chronic diseases as yet, for example, in the health insurance industry. So let's say, Ms. Alza, I'm 30 years old, if only that were the case, and I have two children. I don't have a health insurance policy, but somebody mentioned to me, you know that you are young, you know, it'd be a good time looking to getting some insurance. What is the process that I would have to go through? Because I'm going to say, many people say trying to get insurance is something that's very, very challenging.
While it is challenging, while some people may say it is challenging, there are some things in life that are worth the effort. And health insurance, especially in of a pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic, I think it is critical that those of you in Radio Land who do not have health insurance should give us a call here at Guardian Life and give us a call at 430-4600 and ensure that you sit with an agent and discuss how the process. It's a simple process. Once the agent sits with you, they will go through the shed. They're differing plans. See which one we will decide. Which one, by asking some questions, which one would meets your needs, and that's the first part of the interview. But once that is done, the children. Once she's 30, so I'm assuming that her children would most likely be school age children. Age 30.
More than likely
school-aged children. But for those listeners who may have children and wondering, well, what's the cutoff age for a child? If your child is in full-time university, that child can stay on our health plan for up to age 25. If they're not, if they can come right through, and when they turn age 19, they will come off. If they're not going in, continuing their education full time, they will come off, and then they can have their own policy at that time. But it's just, we sit, we will go through the plan with you, show you the benefits, tell you, and our plans cover major medical, vision, and dental. So you're getting a three-tiered plan when you speak. And this speaks for most or all insurance companies in Barbados. That's this general standard. Major medical, vision, and dental. And each plan will come with a predetermined deductible, which you will sign off on. And that's that you decide what your deductible is, because they're choices. So you decide that. So 30 years old, two children, and then we will run a quotation for you and that will determine what your premium would be for that plan.
Okay, so just two terms there to clarify for our listeners who wouldn't really be au fait or deeply entrenched in the insurance
deductible
industry. Deductible and premiums.
Yes. Yes. The deductible in a health insurance plan, which is a predetermined amount, is that portion of your claim which is borne by you, that initial portion. So let's assume that you accepted as part of your plan to have a $250 annual deductible. The deductible is annual. What will happen when you submit your claims? When you submit your claims, the first $250 in any year, you can say that's your expense. So you will. So I say to people, even though you're not getting a reimbursement, and this goes for all insurance companies in Barbados, still submit your claim because you're building that deductible. Yes, and once you have satisfied the deductible and spent your, let's say, $250, then any claim after that will be reimbursed at the agreed to percentages, which we call the co-payment.
Okay, understood. And please remember, listeners, because you've heard the figure $250, that's just an example.
That's just an
policy. Each policy is uniquely targeted to the individual, and that will be discussed between you and your agent. So please don't go away saying that the deductible at Guardian is $250. That was not the plan. And the other thing is premiums.
And the premium. Well, you have entered into a contract with the insurance company. The insurance company says we will protect you in the event of any summary of benefits outlined, and what we ask of you, contractual agreement, is that you pay a premium, which is a sum of money which you will pay to the insurance company on a monthly or quarterly basis based on the plan which you have chosen.
Okay. So we go over to Dr. Scantlebury, and remember today we're discussing those complications. So I want to ask Dr. Scantlebury a very simple question first. What's the most common symptom of hypertension?
Nothing.
Yes!
What's that? Hypertension is most often asymptomatic. You do not feel that you have high blood pressure. There are some people who can tell if their blood pressure is high, if it's super, super high, like dangerously elevated. But in general, it is a completely asymptomatic and silent disease. So for all of those people who say, oh, I can feel when my blood pressure is high, you can probably feel when your blood pressure, when the valve is about to pop off, but you can't feel all the other grades of high blood pressure below that valve popping off. So there's no common symptom of hypertension.
Yes, that is exactly it. That's what we try to tell our patients. It's called the silent killer for a reason. It says nothing until you are about to expire. So we're talking about those complications. What are some of the most common complications of uncontrolled hypertension?
So again, I'll start with the heart because that's what I do. So if you think of the heart like a muscle lifting weight, and the blood pressure is the weight, the higher the blood pressure is, the more that muscle of your heart has to lift. Now, the problem with the heart muscle, as opposed to the skeletal muscle like the biceps and whatever, is that the heart muscle isn't designed to get big and muscular and whatever,
buff.
And buff, exactly. What it does is that it gets weak and damaged. So you get thickening of the heart muscle, and then over a period of time, you get weakening of the heart muscle, stiffness of the heart muscle, and then increased pressure within the heart, which leads to pressure backing up into the lungs and heart failure, so fluid in the lungs. So heart failure is a very, very common complication of uncontrolled hypertension. Coronary artery disease, as far as the heart is concerned, but then all vascular disease, because that high pressure within the pipes of your blood vessels imposes a damaging load upon the lining of the vessel. So causes little micro tears, et cetera, and all the stress on the walls of the blood vessel leads to an increase in cholesterol plaque being laid down. You can also get weakening of some areas of the blood vessels in some situations. It's usually associated with atherosclerosis, and that can lead to aneurysm formation as well. So heart failure, coronary artery disease and heart attacks and all the other things that go along with that. Going up to the brain, high blood pressure is the number one cause of stroke. Either ischemic stroke, where there's a clot forming inside the blood vessel, again, because of the atherosclerosis, or hemorrhagic stroke, where there's weakening of the blood vessels and there's a burst blood vessel and you get a bleed into the brain.
Let me just ask Beverly a question here. So we're talking about hypertension. Just because I have hypertension, does that mean that I won't be able to get insurance? And we're not necessarily speaking about Guardian Life per se. Well, maybe we are. You have to unmute your mic again.
Yes, and while she's taking her time to unmute her mic, in addition to answering your question, somebody wants to know up to what age they can receive insurance as well. So that's two questions for her.
This is health insurance that they're speaking of.
Correct. I assume that.
Yes. We will accept up to age 60. We will accept up to age 60. Yes, age 60. And your other question.
Yes, if I have hypertension, would that necessarily exclude me from getting health insurance? Is that an automatic denial for health insurance?
For health insurance, they would be, well, I always say, make the application and let the underwriter take the decision. That's what I always say to my prospects when they come to me, because I am not an underwriter. So you need the health insurance, make the application, and once the application is made, the underwriter will come back to you with that decision. Now that's with, and that speaks to for life insurance as well, as life insurance as well, because I have had cases where persons applied for life insurance. They proved that their hypertension was controlled. The application was approved, but it was approved with something called a rating, and what that means is, yes, you will still be covered, in your beneficiaries, your life is covered and your beneficiaries will benefit at your death, but it costs you a little more on a monthly basis or annual basis, whatever method of payment you're doing, it will cost you a little more than what I would call a person without any medical challenges.
Okay, understood. So Dr. Scanderberry, yeah. Before I interrupted you there just now, we were talking about these different complications and we'd covered already heart failure, coronary artery disease, heart attacks, and we were going to the brain where we discussed that hypertension is the number one cause for strokes in the brain, and we were just about to differentiate between ischemic and hemorrhagic strokes.
Yes, we were about to. And we will continue to be about to, because we have to take a break. So we'll come back to you, Dr. Scandalberry, after a word from our sponsors, which is Guardian Life of the Caribbean. And we've also got a caller on the line, so please stand by.
Life is good, but the right coverage makes it so much better. Presidio means power, protection, and freedom to do the things you love.
Life is life.
Presidio, the personal accident coverage that lets you live your best life today. Call your Guardian Life agent today or 430-4675 and live easy.
Dr. Scandalberry.
Okay. So there are two types of stroke. Ischemic stroke, where there's a blocked blood vessel going to the brain, and the area of the brain that is supplied by that blood vessel becomes damaged because it's not getting enough blood supply. And then the hemorrhagic stroke, where a blood vessel essentially is burst and there's bleeding out into the brain, and the blood itself damages the brain, and you also get constriction of the little blood vessels going into that area. Ischemic stroke is by far the more common type of stroke. It's about 80% of strokes in Barbados, where hemorrhagic stroke would be about around 20-25%. And regardless of whether it's ischemic or hemorrhagic, high blood pressure is tends to be the top risk factor. All the other risk factors for vascular disease, as we discussed last week, the diabetes, high cholesterol, smoking, etc. But hypertension is still by far and away the most common cause. Other complications of hypertension, there's hypertensive kidney disease, again, probably one of the more common causes of need for dialysis in Barbados is hypertension. I think I've run out of organs. No, the eyes.
the ophthalmologists are not going to be happy.
They're not very happy with me. So you can get hypertensive eye disease as well. Just like diabetes, because hypertension is a vascular disease, it can affect pretty much all over the body. Again, erectile dysfunction is a big problem in men, and that's another common cause of that. You can get vascular disease within the bowels. It can cause abnormal heart rhythms. I can just go on and on. Hypertension is a big one as far as heart disease and just general disease.
Okay, we still have that caller on the line, Redskin.
Caller, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm sir.
Yes, the doctors can hear you. Go ahead, please.
This is for the insurance person. Could the person explain why the insurance is not prepared to offer coverage to persons over 60?
This is, you're speaking about the health insurance?
Yes, insurance, yeah.
Health insurance?
Or anything
that is
insurance?
No. What I will say to you, it's, let me explain that statement further. You were talking about making the application. Now, if you had made the application before age 60, you will still have coverage way into your retirement. Yeah? Especially, so it does not stop at 60. The application process will stop at age 60. Do you understand that?
So I am asking why, what is the reason for that, that the application process has to stop at 60?
Well, I consider it one of the regulations governing the health insurance industry. So that's why I say, do not wait until you have a complication to look to insurance. Make sure that you, and to all areas, life insurance, health insurance, I'm appealing to the public of Barbados, critical illnesses. Do not wait until there is a complication. Let us be proactive. Let us manage our health. We are in a pandemic. We need to take better care of our health. And in so doing, do not wait until age 60 waiting on it until age 60 is really, I consider it really too late. Too late. This body, and you have to care for it. Buy the health insurance when you're earlier. There are some insurances, such as the BARP insurance policy, that will cover persons, and I think they may have the same restriction in terms of application. But the secret to it is acting well, healthy, and acting well you're young. Because remember, health insurance, if you start young, you pay a smaller premium and it will go up as time goes. But the younger you are, the cheaper health insurance is. That's a plus.
But if the 60-year-old or the 60-plus person could produce evidence that that person is in good health, mm-hmm. why should the insurance company refuse to give that mm-hmm. person health once they could pay the premiums?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'll tell you, on the life insurance side,
it's not prohibitive. Not prohibitive. You can insure your life to 100 if you want. It is not prohibitive on the life side. But the thing is to get in early. Get in there early. Now, is this a personal question that you're asking where you were seeking health insurance and didn't get it?
It's not a personal thing. I just say as
I was just
discrimination.
Asking.
All right, caller, we understand your situation with that, thinking that might be discrimination, but you would appreciate that it's a medical program sponsored by an insurance company, and they're willing to give you as much advice as you desire, but it would be better if for those nitty-gritty questions and answers, you contact the company directly so they can give you all the answers that you would want with respect to your questions on why and why not with regards to the
So I encourage the caller to give me a call personally.
Correct.
Give me a call. Okay. Call me on 268165. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, call me personally and let's chat about it. Let's chat about it. I may not be able to help you in that area, but I may be able to assist you in another area of insurance. But let's discuss it.
All right, caller. Thank you kindly for your comment and your question. We have another question regarding the insurance, so let's do that right now. Good evening, Dr. Boyce and guests. If I was working and paying medical insurance and I am now retired, would I still be able to continue paying my insurance and up to what age? Have you got that one?
This is with an individual or
yeah,
a
this
retiree.
One says, it says, if I was working and paying medical insurance, but I am now mm-hmm. retired, would I still be able
yes.
to continue paying my insurance and up to what age?
Yes. You will continue. And that's why I say to companies in Barbados that they really should have group health insurance because your retirees are covered for the rest of their life. Your retirees are covered for the rest of their life. So they leave your company. What will happen is that there may be some change in the coverage where it may be a bit reduced, but you are covered for the rest of your life.
All right, another question for you, and then we'll get back to the doc. Do you have to make an appointment to seek medical or life insurance?
Yes, of course. And we have a wonderful platform now where if you have your apprehensions about face-to-face interviews, Guardian Group has risen to the occasion during COVID shutdown, and we launched our sales platform. So prospective clients can have the option now, face-to-face interview, or we can use whatever medium, electronic medium you are familiar with, Skype, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, WhatsApp, whatever is your choice, we can provide you with that service. And the interview process really is about a fact-finding interview, because we're trying to uncover your need. Yes, you may come to me saying I need health insurance, but then when we have the fact find, I find you have 5 children, all school age, you don't have a life insurance policy, your wife is not working, and if something had to happen to you, they would be in dire straits. So we will then have to decide what takes priority, a life insurance policy that your loved ones in the event of your death, or a health insurance policy. And I don't think there's a toss up there. I think most people will go for the life insurance policy first and then seek the health. But again, the prospect that sits before the agent, they will decide which one. And it can be a decision could be taken. Well, we're going to do the life now, and in about 6 months' time, you may have had a debt that would be eliminated, and then we'll start the health plan 6 months down the road. Because when you come to Guardian, it's not a one-time sale. You are now a member of the Guardian family, and that means we keep in contact and we review that policy periodically, review your needs periodically, because there are life changes. People get married, people have, you know, a death in the family, and then your final expenses, and then you said, hey, I need to increase my coverage.
All right.
So, yes.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that call.
Do you want to give the number again so that they can contact you just in case they didn't get it?
Yes. My cell, my direct cell is 266-8165, or you can call Tour PBX 430-4600 or 430-4675.
All right. Thank you kindly. We've got a caller line. Caller, you're still there with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Thank you for your patience. Be patient a little bit longer, because we've got to go to a word from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and let you pose a question to the good doctor, all right?
That's fine with me.
Stand by, please.
Life is good, but the right coverage makes it so much better. Presidia means power, protection, and freedom to do the things you love. Presidia, the personal accident coverage that lets you live your best life today. Call your Guardian Life agent today or 430-4675 and live easy.
As usual, the pressure hits at the end of the show. Lights are all lighting up on the board for the calls coming in. One or two WhatsAppers telling me they're not receiving the signal very clearly. We hope that you can hear it better now. But caller, go ahead with your question to the doctor, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, ladies. Dr. Scantlebury, this question is for you. And then I have a question for the insurance lady. A person that had a blood clot or two, that would be considered a blood disease?
I am presuming that you're speaking about venous thrombosis. Where you get a clot in the legs.
Pulmonary right? embolism, as they call it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It could be under the realm of a blood disease. There are some people who are predisposed to clotting. There are some genetic disorders. There are some other disorders that predispose patients to clotting. And that, I guess, is considered a blood disease.
Okay.
The pulmonary embolism can occur not only because of underlying blood disorders, though. If you have cancers can predispose to pulmonary embolism, damage to the blood vessels, the veins within the legs can predispose, prolonged periods of immobility, even in patients who do not have blood disorders.
Okay, this question is for the insurance lady, Ms. Alv.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let me just say, though, that I am in Guardian Group. It's almost 30 years now. I've been in it from Port Authority. I've retired, and I'm still in it because of the port. They have this insurance called Retirees Insurance, where everything remains the same. It's just that you're not working at the port anymore. And I've contributed all my life to the port.
Yes.
And I'm still in the insurance. I'm still enjoying the benefits of the insurance. And I'm no 66.
And I have to say good afternoon because you're a member of the family.
Yes, I am. For almost 30 years.
Of the Guardian family.
Of course I am.
Yes.
And I have absolutely no problems with Guardian. You know, when I make a claim in short order, I get my refunds, you know. I like it. Anyway, go ahead. The question I have for you, Ms. Alves, is this. I was trying to get this insurance you all have that after death, where the insurance cover your death and that kind of thing. And I was denied because I was told by my good friend Mr. Holder that because I had a blood clot, that would disqualify me because the insurance sees a blood clot as a blood disease.
That decision would not have been made by Mr. Holder. Just passing on the writer's decision.
Yeah, I'm not hearing you. You're breaking up, Mama. I'm not hearing you well.
Yeah, she was saying that decision would not have been done by the gentleman you just mentioned. It would have been done by the honorator, and that person was just passing on that information.
Mr. Waller is in charge of that department, apparently. So when he told me so, I took it for granted that he was correct because, like I said, he's, as far as I know, he's in charge of that particular department. But I will give you a call. We will discuss it again.
Thank you kindly, sir. As always.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Ms. Alves.
Yeah. What I would like to are statistics recently published in the October 15th edition of the newspaper. And there are some alarming. The quoted from the Barbados Register and the Minister of Health, Justice, the quoted. In 2013, there were 1,400 acts, 53 non-communicable diseases. Really, 52 non-communicable.
Ms. Alves, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to give us a break there because indeed you are breaking up a lot and a lot of what you're saying we are not capturing, you see. So give me a second. Let me remind them of who is bringing us this program. It is your company. It is Guardian Life of the Caribbean.
Life is good, but the right coverage makes it so much better. Presidia means power, protection, and freedom to do the things you love. Presidia, the personal accident coverage that lets you live your best life today. Call your Guardian Life agent today or 430-4675 and live easy.
Well, the lines were going left, right, and center. I think we've got a caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, please. You have a call, I beg your pardon, a question for the good doctor?
Dr. Scott, right there?
Yes, she can hear you.
Okay, doing this anyway, at your convenience, I want you to get my contact information from your brother or knowledge from any, because I can't talk to you with person there that's in law can help me with no.
But you know better than to call and tell her that no.
Yes, you're right.
Yes, I'm good. You just put a smile on my face, by the way. Thank you kindly for that. I think she heard you. You heard him, Doc? Yeah, she heard. She's nodding her head, yes. So
yeah, and I guess my number was Sean. You can give her the number. Okay.
Your number doesn't come up on this board. No, it doesn't.
All right, tell her, talk to her, but she knows which bread I need. And get my contact information. I need to talk to her privately.
Very well, sir. All right, Dr. Scantlebury has heard you. Thank you kindly for your call. Let's see if we can squeeze one more in before we say goodbye. Good evening. You're listening to the Better Health Radio Show. You have a question for the doctor, please?
Yeah, good evening. Seeing that you're almost finished, I want to say good evening to the doc, Renee Boyce. Good evening to the doc, Scantlebury, and good evening to you. I want to know from Dr. Scantlebury, does arginine vasopressin has anything to do with the regulation upwards by sodium of the blood pressure and potassium stabilizing it as well. Again, has arginine vasopressin has anything to do with the regulation of sodium that regulates the blood pressure upwards or potassium that stabilizes it?
I guess I'll answer that in a brain. Vasopressin is a hormone that's produced in the brain. It increases the blood pressure by causing constriction of the blood vessels. It also has an antidiuretic effect, so it leads to increase in the antidiuretic. So if you were dehydrated, it decreases the level of fluid that you put out, and it causes free water retention. So it decreases the sodium. It has nothing at all to do with the potassium.
So it wouldn't have...
And really and truly, it's not a very common thing that we discuss with patients because it's not... We do not target it specifically in general. It's one of these niche areas.
Okay, thank you.
A more common hormone that we would talk about would be something like renin or angiotensin, which is one of the targets of our blood pressure medication and is very important in blood pressure management and in heart failure management. I don't get into the discussions of these hormones in great detail.
That is angiotensin 1?
Correct. Angiotensin 2. But again, the discussion of these hormones is not very helpful at the layperson level. What's more important is discussing things that we can modify, that you can modify. We target these things with our drugs, but when it comes to the individual patient, what you need to be focused on, yes, you can educate yourself and have a general understanding of how the drugs work, but what should be more your focus is things that you can control. So how you eat, avoid excess sodium, avoid excess fat in your diet, exercise more, and you know, maintain a healthy body weight. If you stop, if you smoke, stop smoking. You know, keep up with your doctor's appointments to ensure that your diabetes and high blood pressure and cholesterol are controlled. Those are the important things you need to pay attention to as a patient that are in your control. You know, that would be my answer there.
Okay, caller.
I just wanted to know from the perspective of potassium. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Thank you for being part of the show. And of course, next week we'll be here again, God's willing. Dr. Boyce, go ahead, please. They gave you a vacation there just a while, but your turn now.
Yes, I am still here, and it's so hard to say goodbye.
Good song.
We all have to say goodbye. Yes, and was it Boyz II Men?
Correct. Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. But what I can say is that if we don't go, we won't be able to come back next week. So I want to say thank you to Guardian Life of the Caribbean for sponsoring our previous four shows. I'm hoping that who has been the coordinator for these shows is somewhere under an umbrella sipping a cocktail, whether with alcohol or not is up to her. But we do hope that you're having a restful time. And to all the other members of your team who have made this possible and the team at VOB, to my guests throughout the weeks, I also wish to say thank you. Thank you, Dawn, for doubling up. I always enjoy having Dawn on and being educated myself. And like she said, it's for the average person to understand what we are teaching here, because it's for you to live your best life. That's the purpose of the Better Health Radio Show. And we really do enjoy coming to you every week. And as usual, Greston, let's just say hello to Ken, the number one, I think. Was it any others count to feet? The one and only, any others
correct
count to feet.
Any others right. Count to feet. Good night, Ken. One Ken Husbands, indeed.
Any others count to feet. And so to you again, Beverly, Dawn, Gregston, everyone who's listening, have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, Dawn. I beg your pardon. I almost said Dawn Scantlebury. Thank you, Dr. Dawn Scantlebury. Thank you for being part of the show.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And to Miss Alves, Beverly Alves of Guardian, we're just having some issues with your mic earlier. That's why I had to ask you for the break. But we're happy to have you here to explain to us the goings-on of the insurance at Guardian. So thank you kindly for being part of the show as well. All right.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Dr. Boyce, God's willing, next week.
Yes, please.
Next week, Sunday. Do we know what we're talking about?
No, we don't. But what we know is that coming up in November, remember we had to make some adjustments. So coming up in November, we will be having the ophthalmology department. So twice tonight, we had to.
Yes, you offended them tonight twice. Yes.
Yes. So we'll have ophthalmology on. We're also going to be having a session on venous disease coming up sometime in the next couple of weeks. And we're also going to be having a little extra teaching on diabetes. Start studying, people. Start studying. The quiz is coming up. You cannot wait until December to start studying, because this is all the way from January. And I think there's something from Heart and Stroke Foundation too, Dawn. Is that what you want to say?
There's a stroke event coming up. And it just occurs to me that I am double booked. But on Tuesday, we have our stroke panel at the museum. Starts at 6 o'clock, and with you know, demonstrations, CPR demonstrations, etc. And then at 7 will be the panel. There will be a discussion with a neurologist from the UK, Professor David Corbin. It will be moderating the discussion, and then there will be a panel discussion after the lecture. So that will be on Tuesday, on the 28th, on the 27th.
27th, right?
Yeah. Barbados Museum.
Barbados Museum over there in Garrison, I believe. So that's it from us, Gaston. It was really great being here.
Thank you kindly.
Have a good night.
Thank you kindly, all of you. Had ladies on tonight, so it was a pleasure. Next week, God's willing, we'll come again. We'll come again. That's not to say when gentlemen are on, it's not a pleasure. Don't get me wrong. All right. We'll come again at you at 6 o'clock in the evening for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. Thank you, guys. Have a wonderful evening.